SaaS Open Mic is brought to you by ChartMogul. SaaS startups like Typeform, Pipedrive, and Instapage use ChartMogul to centralize and analyze their subscription billing and customer data. Go to chartmogul.com and sign up for a free trial today. And if you're just starting out, ChartMogul is free for businesses with less than $10,000 in monthly recurring revenue. That's chartmogul.com for a free trial. Welcome to SaaS Open Mic by ChartMogul. I'm Ed Shelley. Look, we all know that SaaS companies should be collecting customer feedback, right? But how you should actually manage, process, quantify, categorize, and action that feedback data is far from simple, especially when you're operating at scale. So for this topic, I reached out to two entrepreneurs who are building a company around this. It's called Canny. Co-founders Sarah and Andrew left their jobs at Facebook to bootstrap Canny as a SaaS business because they believed there was a better way to handle customer feedback and feature requests. So I'm really happy that I could pick their brains on a lot of best practices for making feedback more valuable within a business. Let's dive in. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Sarah Hum and Andrew Rasmussen of Canny. Sarah and Andrew, thanks so much for joining me here. It's great to be chatting to you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So I've been reading a lot about customer feedback lately, and it's something I've thought about. And I've also had some people asking me about the topic of actually dealing with feedback, specifically in the context of a SaaS business. I think it's something that a lot of startups have problems with, or they know that the way they handle and categorize and capture feedback today is not perfect. And I thought it'd be great to talk to you both because what you're doing at Canny is really relevant to that. So let's just start with what you're doing first and what Canny is.
Yeah, sure. The problem that we solve is that product managers don't have all of the data that they need to make great decisions. And so at a company, especially at a SaaS company, you know, your support team talks to users, your sales team talks to users, users give you feedback, and you need to get all this feedback in one place so that your product managers can make optimal decisions on what to build.
How did you get to this point in time when you actually decided to solve this problem with a product? Maybe Sarah, could you explain a little bit how you both went from life before Canny to where you are today?
Yeah, we're product people. We use a ton of products on a daily basis, and you know, as a user, it always felt like companies didn't care. There was either no way to give feedback at all, or it was a simple email form of some sort. And after working on this for a while, it turns out, of course, they do care. You know, PMs would love to have this data when they're making product decisions. It's just often very costly to handle these support tickets and stuff like that, and very high effort. And so that's what we're setting out to solve.
So Canny is a bootstrapped SaaS company. Mm-hmm. So you've made an active decision to build this company together independently and remotely. Could you tell me a little bit your philosophy behind that?
Yeah. So we were in San Francisco and, working on Canny there. And it was just the two of us. We didn't have any investors or employees or anything. And we just thought, we're working from cafes. We could be doing this anywhere. And so why don't we? It's a lot cheaper to work from Thailand and San Francisco. And so we did it. We left San Francisco. And we've been traveling for the last year. And so spent 6 months in Europe last year. And we've been in Asia for the last 3 months now. And we've started hiring our first employees. And so our first one's going to be joining us in a few hours, actually, in New York.
Congratulations. So is this your goal to build a completely distributed remote working company? Or do you have further plans?
Yeah, I don't think we set out to build a remote company. But it's kind of looking like everything's moving that way. Just having remote job applications meant that we got so many more applicants, and it was so much easier to hire somebody at a rate that we can afford. And so, yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of benefits, and I think things are moving this way, and we haven't run into anything that's killed this direction yet, and so we're excited about it.
And so just to get to this topic of feedback, what are businesses like doing wrong when they're like capturing, handling feedback today? Are there like some common things that you said from a user perspective, it seems like they don't care. And I know exactly what you mean there, because to the end user, a lot of the time, that's how it looks. But what are they really struggling with that kind of gives that impression?
Yeah, I think when it comes to, you know, collecting feedback at scale, it's a lot of data, and it's hard to, you know, get it to the right person. And that sadly means that when the PMs are making their decisions, they're not fully informed. And this often means, you know, a sales team or a support team or a marketing team, you know, people who are interfacing with users on a more daily basis, you know, are tracking feedback in spreadsheets or text documents, or even posting them as messages in Slack. And it becomes very disjointed and siloed and scattered, and just really hard for PMs to actually use that information effectively. And then to users, like, that often means there's no follow-up. And so you kind of get into this whole spiral where everyone feels like they're not being heard and they're not going to give feedback anymore because nobody cares anyway. And so, yeah.
What does that look like in a more practical sense? Like, how does Canny like solve some of those problems exactly? Like, what have you guys built there?
Right. Canny today, we're aiming to help you bring all your feedback into a single place. And what the product looks like today is mostly a public facing tool where users can, you know, voice their ideas and see what other users are saying. And, you know, encourage this dialogue between everyone who's passionate and interested in the product. But the direction that we're bringing Canny further is into allowing you to bring feedback in from other channels. So a lot of people today use intercom, people have their own help desks. How do we bring that in to create a clear picture of what your users are asking for and talking about?
Just as an example, at Chartmobile, we have so many different touch points with end users or with customers.
Exactly.
And I'm sure this is the true for like the majority of SaaS or technology businesses out there. Whether it's intercom or Twitter or a Facebook message that somebody sends us, it's definitely like super fragmented, and it's very hard to get an overall view of that, especially in a single place. I guess that's a lot of the vision that you have for Canny, is the ability to do that.
Exactly.
So I guess the capturing is one part of it. I think that's like there's a certain like specific set of problems around capturing and getting feedback in a single place. But for product people in a business, it's also really hard to kind of process and turn this data into something that's actually actionable. I was wondering, maybe Andrew, do you have any input on how people can better do that in their business?
Yeah, I mean, really, you're building for your customers. At the end of the day, your job is to solve problems for your customers. And so you need to always have this pulse on what your customers want, and, you know, what your most valuable customers want, what all of your customers want. And you need to look at this data to understand, you know, what you should build next. And so you have to have it aggregated in some way such that you can understand at a high level, like, what's my number one feature request? What's my number one feature request from trials that dropped off? What's my number one feature request from my enterprise accounts? And depending on the KPI you're trying to drive, that should be a big indicator on, you know, which feature your engineering team should prioritize.
There's also a balance there to strike between what your customers are requesting and what your vision is for the product and for the business. I think a lot of different startups probably fall at some point on that scale between saying no to most things and prioritizing the things that bring them towards the long-term vision. And on the other end of the scale, building the top requested things. Is this something that you deal with at Canny, like in terms of features for the product itself? Like, how do you prioritize these things that customers are requesting, but also balance that with your long-term vision for the product?
Yeah, I think it is always a balance just right between vision and customer feedback. What are my customers saying, and where are we going with this company, with this product?
Right, and this is definitely, you know, a really hard problem and something that we're trying to help you do with Canny. But ultimately, I think, you know, building a product is you know, somewhat of an art and somewhat of a science. And on the science side, you want to inform yourself as much as possible, you know, with as much data as possible. What are people asking for? What can we work on that will have impact? And on the art side, it's like, I think for us, if something that doesn't align with our product vision, we're not going to build it. And we work on our product every day. And so ideally, we have, the best idea of where we want the product to go and what we think the market wants. And so I think that when it comes to the art side, it's pretty clear cut in the way that if we don't think it aligns with our vision, we're not going to build it. But yeah, it definitely is a balance. And I think one of the things we're coming up to is, are our users happy? Do they enjoy using our product? And there are features that we think won't push the needle particularly as much in terms of growth, but will in terms of customer satisfaction. And so there's a lot of these different, measures all over the place. And so we try to break those down into their own groups and see, where we have resources and what do we want to spend time on and what do we want to drive this month or this quarter, and kind of take it from there.
Yeah, makes sense. I think it's also, it gets even harder when some of these features have like a revenue figure attached to them, right?
Right.
Like, it's always hard to turn down something that is going to bring in, X amount of revenue.
And absolutely.
Do you, like, I guess in the context of a business that's like self-funded or bootstrapped, do you think that, okay, it's probably not even a valid question. It almost certainly must change that decision-making when you're focused on reaching like profitability or some level of revenue much earlier than perhaps if you've taken VC money or something like that.
Right, absolutely. And I can think of, this one case where, this larger enterprise customer came to us and asked for, these several features that we knew were not going to be the most impactful for the large majority of our user base. And so we were kind of caught in between, like, being able to close a big deal versus, building all these other features that our core users want. And so at the end of the day, we decided that, that what they were asking for was not particularly aligned with where we were going and what we believe Canny is as a business. And so, we said, we can't build those features for you. Here's why. And kind of took it from there and instead we were able to build much more impactful features for our existing user base.
It's funny, I've worked in a business before where like large proportions of the code base were basically huge custom features that were implemented for large enterprise customers. And those features ended up being basically like a dead weight, like a technical debt on the whole project.
Exactly.
As like the code base grew in complexity and like there was a lot of like refactoring involved. These are things that we're actively like trying to remove, but they were so ingrained in the product.
Absolutely. And when you're a team of two and you have to really, really be critical about what you decide to prioritize. I think that's, creates a lot more responsibility and, you have to continue supporting that feature down the line. It's much bigger than it seems at the beginning.
So one thing I noticed with Canny is that it really tries to encourage like ongoing feedback rather than just, I think a lot of businesses, they think of feedback and they maybe think about like pushing out a single survey to their customers. That might be like a net promoter score survey or something similar. How do you encourage this ongoing conversation with customers? Maybe firstly, like in the product itself, and then just in terms of like the whole feedback process, like how does that work?
Right. I think it's natural for a lot of users, especially in SaaS, to, want to do something with your tool. And, if you don't support that feature, they're like, okay, how can I give this feedback? This happens I think fairly often. And if there's a way for them to do it that's obvious and evident in the product, they're going to take steps to do that. And of course, this will be, you know, a smaller percentage of your users, but these are people that have opinions and could give you valuable insight into what they're trying to do with your product. And so just simply giving them that option when they want it is, I think, a great first step. And on the team side, like, you're building products on a daily basis. Every project that you decide to pursue should take into account user feedback. And so for me, it doesn't really make sense for you to engage in this feedback collection once every, you know, quarter or every half when you're building product on a daily basis. Why do people want this feature? What are their use cases? As a product team, I think it's important to know that.
Many of the founders I talk to spend hours logging into different applications or poring over Excel sheets to understand the health of their SaaS business and get to the root of issues like churn. ChartMogul connects with your subscription billing provider, automatically calculates your key metrics, and turns them into investor-ready reports. As a result, founders can spend less time on reporting and more time focusing on growth. Start your free trial today at chartmogul.com.
So I wanted to talk about Net Promoter Score because it's such a big thing in SaaS, and it's probably the single biggest way that companies try to quantify feedback in terms of like producing like an overall score, which has this aim of like reflecting the kind of overall sentiment of customers and whether they would recommend the product to their colleagues or their friends. Do you think NPS is useful? Is that something that companies should be using? Or is there a better way to kind of quantify the data? I guess as well, this is on the topic of like scaling feedback. How do you actually quantify some of this data that you're capturing and make it actionable?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways you can collect feedback, and they all solve problems in different ways. And so if you're trying to change your pricing, then maybe you send out a highly targeted survey to a specific group of users on, you know, how much would you pay for our product? NPS has value. And that is, like you said, you know, getting an aggregate score for, you know, how are our users feeling? But also, you know, if certain users aren't feeling well, you can then reach out to those and say, hey, why did you give us a 5 out of 10? And maybe there's a reason that you can fix with better support or with your product. And so there's definitely value in NPS. We don't use it personally at Canny. And maybe we should try using it out sometime. I'm not against it. I don't think we're against it, but just, you know, so far we've been, happy with Intercom and with our own, you know, feedback channel. And so that's worked for us, but yeah. And if you contrast like NPS to how Canny works, it's a little bit different in that NPS is asking about the customer experience. How is your experience of using our product? Whereas Canny is more about how can we make our product better? And so really, I just think there's different ways of asking feedback for different reasons.
Definitely. So there are two cases here that you outlined, and they're both definitely valid in their own right. And yeah, sure. Like looking at what we do with NPS at ChartMogul, like it's definitely been useful for us as a tool to perhaps like identify areas where we need to like dig in a little bit deeper and understand things that are happening in the product, and as well at a high level to track like overall satisfaction. I do think some companies are starting to question NPS as a high level kind of metric for businesses, because I think it's not inherently actionable. Actually, like it doesn't allow people to instantly make decisions about their business, whereas the kind of product like feature request kind of data that you would get from something like Canny, I guess, is much more actionable in that people are actually telling you what they want in the product itself.
I think one thing I would add to that is that, you know, NPS becoming a lot more familiar, like on the user side, people understand what they're looking at when they see, you know, 1 to 10, what should I do? And so when it comes to feedback collection, there's this kind of balance between, you know, you want to keep it as simple as possible for someone to give feedback so you get more of it versus something that's a little more robust and asks for more information, like how important is this to you, that, you know, might lower the amount of responses you get. So I think NPS is nice for this kind of qualitative feedback. But yeah, at the same time, there's definitely limitations, and you don't really get a clear picture of a lot of what they're asking about.
Yeah. Random question. Is there anything that surprised you, like, through your journey with Canny about the way that users interact or engage with these feedback mechanisms? Like, were there any assumptions that you had going into this that were maybe proven wrong, or just where you discovered a different way of doing?
I think one thing that comes to mind is duplicates are really bad, because, you know, a lot of Canny's value is having this one neat, organized place to have all of your feedback data. And so if an idea already exists in Canny, the user shouldn't create a new idea. They should be adding their voice to that existing idea. Otherwise, your data is starting to get scattered and unorganized, and that's not very useful. And so we've spent a lot of time just making it easier to see that the idea that you're creating already exists. So, you know, don't create a new idea, add your voice to this existing idea. And just, you know, surfacing those posts, making it easier to, you know, merge duplicates and all sorts of that. But yeah, overall, people really like it. And actually, we get a lot of feedback that from our customers that our users really like having this place where they can see ideas from other users. Sometimes they get ideas that, you know, they hadn't thought of that would be valuable to them. And so definitely, definitely cool to see that our customers, you know, like using Canny.
Yeah. I think there's a really interesting thing there as well. It's almost going down the route of creating a community for your customers or end users, right? Like, how do you think of that as something that you are solving with Canny?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's, you know, something that we're aiming to do, but it is, you know, a great side effect into how Canny looks today, and the fact that, you know, we promote this kind of transparent culture, and, you know, you're able to see what other users are saying. You know, that adds some benefits. Like, as a user, I can see my thing only has, you know, 5 other people who are supporting it, and the company has, you know, 10 other posts that have way more support. And so I can see why my thing isn't getting prioritized. You know, there's all these great, you know, side effects by having this as a transparent, you know, feedback tool. And so I think all power to them.
Yeah, makes sense. I think the only thing there, like, as an end user, the one experience that I've had is I engage quite a lot in the Spotify like community as a, like, I'm a beta tester and have tested some of the early features, and the way that they handle feedback, well, the experience that I've had as an end user a lot of the time is, like, I request something, or I request a change or a feature that doesn't exist, and I'm basically, like, given a link to a post that tells me that, like, 200 people have already had this idea, and it's there, like, somewhere, like, buried in a backlog, or it's just, like, doesn't have priority or something. Is there something here to ensure that end users or customers, like, remain engaged with this whole process when it can feel like they're just adding something to a big pile of feature requests and not actually, like, engaging with the company?
I think an important thing here is the roadmap, and just, you know, you can also share your roadmap with users and say, here's what we're working on right now, or here's what's coming soon. Here's what we recently launched, you know, a change log. And so this, you know, conveys that we are working on things. Things are improving, that these ideas that you're submitting to this forum or community, whatever you want to call it, are being listened to and improved upon. And so that's a great way to just let people know that, you know, things are moving forward. And then on top of that, I actually think it's useful, you know, when you say, that idea has, you know, 200 votes, but it kind of seems like it's in a backlog, not really being worked on. Sometimes if you dig around the backlog, you know, you'll find another post has like 1,000 votes, and maybe that's the one that they're working on. And I think it helps the company convey, this is why we aren't working on your idea, because there's so many other ideas for us to work on. And, you know, right now we can't prioritize everything. And so, you know, it helps you explain your product decisions, because in a black box, it can be frustrating. I have, you know, this idea that I want, and the company isn't building it. But if you see, oh, this other idea has so many more votes, or, you know, it's a really good idea, then it can help users understand why their feedback isn't being implemented.
Yeah, I get that. Definitely. I think also one thing I'm getting at there is like, it's a bit scary for businesses because they are like lifting the lid on a part of the process that would normally be intransparent to the customer, right? They're giving more visibility into this kind of set of potential features that the business may want to build, and like allowing customers in there, I think could be in some ways scary for these businesses. That, I don't know, would it feel perhaps like they're losing a bit of control of that process, or they're definitely like empowering their customers even more? Like, how do you see businesses like reacting to this process of like opening up their feature requests?
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, especially for B2B companies, this feedback can be really valuable. And so we have a bunch of, you know, for example, privacy features so that you could only share your feedback with your customers. It's not completely public, or you can, you know, your customers can submit it, but only your team can see it. And so we have some privacy features to, you know, combat those anxieties. But really, a lot of companies say that part of their brand or part of what they stand for is being customer centric and putting the customer first. And, you know, if you are putting the customer first, then you should want to hear what they have to say. And, you know, you should want to empower the customer rather than, you know, hiding behind whatever, you know, privacy features we've got.
So just looking forwards, so Canny, how long has Canny been around for now as a product?
We launched just over a year ago, so I think 13 months now.
Okay. It would be great to just get your experience of the first year of building Canny. And after that, I'd love to know what you both have planned for the future. You mentioned you're just hiring, I think it was your first employee, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've learned, honestly, so much in the first year. As you know, building a startup is just completely different than, you know, working at Facebook where we previously were, and, you know, where my responsibility was specifically in design, and that was all I did on a daily basis. Like today, there's just so much more than that. And so now that we're starting to hire a team, it's really great to be able to hire experts in, you know, their respective areas. And our first hire is in marketing, and, you know, Andrew and I are both not marketers, and so it'll be awesome to, you know, get someone who actually knows their stuff in the area and can kind of take us to the next level in that regard. But yeah, we're excited.
Definitely. And I mean, you say you're not marketers, but you've been sharing some really excellent content on your blog over the last year, and I would encourage anybody to check that out. And it's really cool that you're both building this very much in the open and sharing a lot of your story and your metrics. So please keep doing that.
Thank you. No, I think our approach there is, you know, we're learning so much along the way, and that other people can probably, you know, benefit from the stories and lessons that we're learning along the way. So yeah, hopefully we can keep sharing that.
Definitely. Well, Sarah and Andrew, thank you so much. It's been really cool to talk to you. And I feel, at least, if nothing else, like a lot more educated about the feedback process and how you are solving problems in this space. How can people check out Canny, or if they want to improve feedback in their company, what would you advise them to do?
They can just visit our website. It's canny.io.
And they can also follow our travels on Instagram at @carryoncode.
Okay, I'll check that out as well. I haven't seen that yet.
It's fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, both. And I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks for having us.